Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. In this portion of Mark 1, we see our Lord healing at sunset and praying at sunrise. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daybreak, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Let's first of all look at some background notes, which is our normal procedure. In verse 29, we see that the Lord left the synagogue. That would be the synagogue at Capernaum. And then he comes into the house of Andrew and Simon with James and John. So we see that Peter and Andrew lived at Capernaum at this time. They're probably going to the home of Simon and Andrew for a meal after Sabbath day services in the synagogue. Now, believe it or not, a number of archaeologists believe they have actually located Peter's house, this very house in Capernaum. You say, well, how could archaeologists know that they've located Peter's house? Well, when they excavated the area outside the synagogue at Capernaum, they uncovered some first century houses. And over one of these houses, they found the ruins of an octagonal-shaped Byzantine church. Byzantine times began in the 4th century after the Roman persecutions had stopped. Well, now, why would the Christians at that time have built a church over a house if it wasn't important? And so excavating beneath the church, the archaeologists found that the 1st century home had Christian symbols on the wall, showing that most likely the Christians of Capernaum met here during the 1st century. So putting two and two together, this does seem to be a pretty good case that this was very possibly Peter's home, where the early church met in the 1st century. In verse 30, we see that Peter is married because the Lord heals his mother-in-law. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5, we see that the rest of the apostles were married as well. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5. The idea of a celibate priesthood is foreign to the Bible. In verse 32, we read that at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. You might wonder, why did they wait till evening? Why didn't they come during the day? Well, remember, this was the Sabbath day. You go back to verse 21, you can see it's the Sabbath. And according to the laws of Judaism, you couldn't carry burdens on the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath ended at sunset. So now that the Sabbath is over, now all the people are coming, bringing the sick with them. And we read there in verse 33, the whole city is gathered together at the door. In verse 34, we read, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, we've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. The Lord wanted people to come to him by faith. He wanted them to show faith in him in view of what he said and what he did, not on the basis of the testimony of demons. The Lord wanted his identity as the Messiah to be according to his timetable, not according to Satan's timetable. Now in verse 39, we read that the Lord said, "Let us go into the next towns that we may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." This would have led to one of our Lord's tours of the Galilee area in his great Galilean ministry. Let's look at some doctrinal points from this passage. Doctrinal point number one, there is a distinction between physical sickness and demon possession. There is a distinction between physical sickness and demon possession. The Bible certainly teaches that here. Look at verse 32. They brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And also verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. The reason we want to emphasize this point is because there is a tendency for some Christians to go to one extreme or the other. One extreme, of course, is to deny that there is any such thing as demon possession. Every ailment is merely physical sickness. Well, that's an unbiblical position. There is such a thing as demon possession. Just as in the Lord's day, so today. We need to recognize that certain human spiritual and mental and even physical problems that people have may be due to demon possession. The other extreme, of course, is to attribute every problem that a person has to demon possession. This certainly is unbiblical. A person may be physically sick and it has nothing to do with demon possession. Notice again the distinction that's made in verses 32 and 34. There is a distinction. The Bible makes a distinction between physical sickness and demon possession. All right, doctrinal point number two. The Lord Jesus placed a priority on preaching. The Lord Jesus placed a priority on preaching. Notice what the Lord said in verse 38. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth, that is, come forth from God. Here the disciples are looking for him because the crowds are wanting him to come back to Capernaum and so forth. And notice what the Lord says. Well, let's first of all notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, let us go into the next towns that I may heal some sick people there as well and cast out some demons there as well. No, he says, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. The Lord Jesus did heal the sick, and he did cast out the demons, but he placed a priority on preaching. You know, we need to do the same. There are many needs around us, physical needs, social needs, all kinds of needs. But we need to place a priority on preaching. What good is it just to make a person more comfortable on the road to hell? Practical application. We are healed in order to serve. Practical application number one, we are healed in order to serve. Look at verse 31. So the Lord came and took her, that is Peter's mother-in-law, by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Here, certainly we catch a glimpse of our Lord's sympathy and tenderness in the way he dealt with people. And note that it was no partial cure or just the beginning of a healing process. Immediately, certainly a miracle here. Maybe you've been raised up from a bed of sickness. Are you serving the Lord now in some way? As Peter's mother-in-law began to immediately serve the Lord when she was healed. Maybe you've almost died at some time in the past, but God restored your life. What are you doing now to serve the Lord? You know, I remember when I was 12 years old, I had polio. And as I lay paralyzed in one of the isolation wards of the hospital, I wondered if I was going to die. Well, I was already a Christian, and I don't think I was afraid at that time of dying, but certainly at 12 years old, I didn't want to die. Well, to make a long story short, the Lord healed me completely. I remember walking out of the hospital under my own power, and as I walked across the parking lot without any paralysis, I remember thinking at that time, wow, God healed me. He healed me completely. How can I ever thank him? How can I serve him? Well, as the Lord raised Peter's mother-in-law, and she then served, so we may be raised up in order to serve. Let's not only thank the Lord, but let's remember we are healed in order to serve. Practical application number two. Let's find a place and make a time to pray. Let's find a place and make a time to pray. Again, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Probably around 4 a.m. And remember, this was after a long and busy previous day. Remember, the Lord was busy in ministry even after sunset the previous day. But the Lord, as the perfect man and the model for us to follow, found a place early in the morning and made the time to pray. It was probably along the shore of the Sea of Galilee as the sun was rising. What a wonderful setting and time for prayer. Well, we need to find a place and make a time to pray. Call it your quiet place and quiet time. We're all busy, of course, but we need to find that place. We need to make that time. That time and place when we can get away from our normal activities and give ourselves to prayer. It doesn't have to be at 4 a.m. in the morning. It doesn't even have to be in the morning. But on the other hand, there's nothing better than starting the day with time with the Lord. Maybe it's your office. Maybe that's a good place. Or maybe the family room when no one's there. Maybe a rest area when you're driving to work or some other place in your car or outside. In any case, let's find a place and make a time to pray. Practical application number 3. Sometimes we must say no because of priorities. Sometimes we must say no because of priorities. What we mean here particularly is saying no in areas of ministry because of priority. See what the Lord says in verse 38. When they're looking for him there at Capernaum because there's so many needs there, he says essentially, no, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. The people of Capernaum wanted to listen to him preach. They wanted to feel his healing touch. They were not against him, and they certainly did have needs. And it's not like the Lord didn't care. He was concerned. But the Lord said, in essence, no, because of his priorities. Well, we too must sometimes say no because of priorities. Right now, I've had to say no to some areas of ministry that I'd really like to be involved in for the sake of getting this radio ministry off the ground, which we really believe is a priority right now. You too will sometimes have to say no, even in areas of ministry, because of priorities. For the sake of raising your family, for example, to raise your family in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, you may have to say no in other areas of ministry. It's not that we don't care or are unconcerned or are hard-hearted concerning the other needs around us, but we can't do everything. Even our Lord said no to certain needs around him because of priorities. Sometimes we must say no because of priorities.